You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, like the one you're about to enjoy, visit electronicmediacollective.com. And now, our feature presentation.
On this episode, we talk about
Slicing Texans,
No Gain, Rogaine,
Tutor Plane,
Endangered Macaques.
Ooh, I love monkeys.
Monkeys? Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, aww.
Welcome to the Roman Podcast. I'm your host, Roman LeBeau.
And I'm Rob Guest.
What's going on, Rob?
Hey, back to work today. After a week off. Well, week off. As we were mentioning last week, my wife goes up north and she volunteers for a week. And I was taking care of my little baby.
Wow, how selfish of her.
No. It's a camp for kids with cancer.
Well, that's all about her. No, that's great. Fantastic.
So I took the week off because I need to be around. But I also, too, on that fact, I wanted to thank my mother because she came and spent the week. Because, as you know, dads, we're not...
Yeah.
You know, we're not the moms, you know. So it was great. Thanks, Mom. I appreciate it. And it was great to have you here. And I really appreciated the help. So I'll say that right off the top of the...
Yeah, we love our moms, man. My mom, she just celebrated her birthday, so we're all for moms. Yay for moms.
Yay for moms. But yes, thank you very much. I couldn't have done the week alone. That's for sure. What else got going on? Oh, my old football team, the North Bay Bulldogs.
Yep.
We're playing the Tri-City Outlaws, and that's in my area, because it's like Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, Tri-City. So I got a chance to go out there and... you know, stand on the sidelines with the team and watch them play. So my old team, they were defunct for a little while, but now they're back. But there was, from when I was playing, my last year was 2003, while playing, when I was riding the pine, when I was on the team as a registered member player, there was three guys from when I played, but they were like 17, 18 when I was playing with them, and now they're like the grizzled veterans because they're like 31, 30, you know, like. So hey guys, if you're listening, it was great to hang out, but they were getting beat pretty bad because they do have a very young team. Like, I got t-shirts older than most of those players, just because everybody's a rookie because they've been away from the league for so long. But that's not my gripe. It's okay to, you mean, it's okay to take your lumps and bruises in your rookie year, and it's a rebuilding team and everything else. But then, so the Outlaws here in Tri-City, they're up by 42 points in the third quarter. Jeez. 42-0. And then they decide to go for an onside kick. I know.
What?
Yes, I said that right. Yeah, I know. Okay, anybody that doesn't know football, when you score a touchdown, you have to kick it back to the other team so they get a chance.
What a bunch of dicks.
Or you can decide to do what they call an onside kick, which is a really short. You have to get it farther than 10 yards, but usually kick it towards the sideline, hoping it passes 10 yards. And if one of your players can get to it first, as long as it travels more than 10 yards, you can keep the ball and try to score again.
And the goal of an onside kick is essentially to keep the ball.
Yeah.
You're winning 42-0. Right, it's a gentleman's sport. Regardless of how you play on the field, you play rough and whatever, but you play by the rules, and you don't try to kick somebody when they're down. So if you're at 42-0, you kick the ball back. You do not onside kick.
No,
it's a dick move.
Oh, it was just a huge dick. Of course, I'm a homer because I was alum of the team that got it done against. But anyway, like I said, I know we're not quite into fantasy yet. But when the football talk gets going, some people roll the eyes. But honestly, I have to say that because, like, that was like, come on, guys. It was just a classless fucking bullshit move.
Yeah,
and I don't mean, I'm not jumping. I'm sure it wasn't indicative of every player on the team, but whoever was on the sideline and decided to do that, come on, like, fucking douche. Anyway, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Oh, I don't get me all riled up there, and I got to go get myself a Dolphins jersey now.
Yes. For more douchebaggery. So other than that, I had the football, had the end of the vacation, and So what's with you? Anything new this week? Anything fun and exciting?
No, just getting some good reactions from our last week's episode.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of people really enjoyed that one, having Courtney on. So thank you, Courtney, for coming on and doing that with us.
Yeah, and like we said before, if you have a podcast of your own, or you're a musician, or you're an actor, or whatever you got going on, if you got something artistic on the side and you want to hop on, like I said, we're not an interview show. Like, God, like what are we going to ask you? You mean, are you a douchebag? Do you do on-site kicks? No, no. You know, so, but it doesn't. We're more than happy to have people on the show, but we don't want to screw up the flow so much. So we're like, hey, you want to sit on Roman's headlines? Then fantastic.
Yeah, we're happy to have anybody who works in the field. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, come on in. We'll do some cross promotion, and we'll tweet you're on the show, and you tweet that you're on our show. We'll have cross promotionation, and you know,
cross pollination. Yeah, that's a word, right?
Yeah, sure. It is now. It's a Canadian dialect word. It's very Northern Ontario.
Oh, okay. I didn't know about it.
He didn't know about it. All right. So you know what? How about we just jump into it? You got to...
Before we jump into it, I want to talk about some announcements. I'm going to kind of bring it down a little bit, but two great actors passed away recently, actually the last couple of days. Martin Landau passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we know him from all kinds of movies, you know, and he used to play as he got older, he got to play the mean old man or the funny old man. He was been everything from Seinfeld to you name it. He was so good. His daughter's an actress as well. She was also an angel and all this stuff. So, our hearts and sympathies go out to that family. And also the grandfather of zombies, Mr. George A. Romero, passed away.
Yes.
Which I know our friend Fear from the Fearcast is going to do a tribute to him.
Yes,
so
I saw that online.
Yeah, so that should be great. So this is a huge guy. This is the guy who originated the genre, and he did it as a political statement. It was about consumption and how basically the state was basically eating us alive.
Yep.
And how people bought into it, and then eventually converted by becoming the zombies ourselves. So he had a political statement to make, and he made it in the form of art. And a lot of people don't even know that's why he did it. Like that was his message in that first movie. So, and then from there, it grew and grew. And he came to Canada to do a lot of his work. He gave a lot of us Canadians work. I tweeted this out. So we owe great thanks to him, because I have many friends. Turn on any George Romero movie, all the ones that have been made since the 90s. They were all filmed up here. In fact, he set up an office here.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, and he was here for most of the year, so he would do all kinds of great stuff. So, you know, thank you for George Romero and his company for... you know, giving us Canadians a shot.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, it sounds weird, but at the sci-fi or the off-bay, the horror or different genres, they're usually Gene Roddenberry did that a lot with the original Star Trek. He would make political statements that he couldn't say. Like he'd make an entire episode about race relations, except he'd make it about two different aliens when you couldn't just say different races from Earth. You mean so? It's along those lines with this guy. Like when he's doing his zombie movies, he's making an actual statement. But, and this, it's getting past the censors, and he's getting past the boos and hisses because they're zombies. But he's still making a statement. It's right there. Like,
it's not preachy standing on the corner. I don't need to listen to this guy. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is interesting. What is this? What's me? And kind of, if you watch The Walking Dead, it's all over. It's the messages are all over in there, you know? So it's too bad. But I mean, like I tweeted out, what a legacy.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to be known as, and when people refer to, they're going to be like, you know how they say this is a Hitchcockian scene, mm-hmm. right? They're going to be like, this is very Romero. They've been saying it for years, but now that he's passed, it's going to be carved in stone. It'll be an actual film technique, which they, like I said, they have been using it, but now it'll be more pervasive, because it's kind of weird when somebody's still alive to kind of keep using those terms.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you end up by thinking the person is no longer alive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the last shout out, by the way, is they're casting the Aladdin movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and they casted, everybody was worried they would whitewash the movie, so don't worry, kids, they did hire somebody who fit the part, and it is a Toronto actor.
Yay!
Mena Massoud, so good luck, sir. You know, this is a huge movie. He's a Toronto kid, so he's, he's very excited. So we're excited, too. This is going to be fun, and a lot of my friends know him personally.
Good.
So they're excited for him, and that's great. Another... you know, more films that represent more people, and also, you know, another Toronto kid. So it's
Absolutely. Awesome. Right. Well, there we go. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, a little turn for the show, but still, it definitely had to be acknowledged, and on both bad and good news for sure. That's
Well, if I'm going to bring the bad, I'm going to bring the weird.
Okay. Well, bring the weird then. What's your first headline?
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to start with this one because it made me laugh, and I realized that this could be me at some time in the future. Ready?
Yes. Homosexual man.
No.
Okay. No. Sorry.
It's a good start.
Yeah.
Flatulence forces passengers from jet. Airline refutes claim.
No, refutes.
A passenger passed gas, forcing everyone from a plane and the Raleigh-Durham International Airport on Sunday. Passengers suffered nausea, some headaches throughout the whole ordeal. Some people became sick when they started leaving the flight. Once passengers were removed, there was a quick investigation to, you know, they checked for the stench to find out where it was coming from. Mm-hmm. In the end, they referred to it as a medical call. And then when they said, well, you know, did you really turn a plane around because somebody farted? And they said, no, it was a mechanical issue and the odor in the cabin. But they said it's definitely not due to past gas. But everybody else was like, oh, no, that was a nasty fart.
Oh, wait. Well, okay, hang on. You know, and I know when something goes wrong. Like, have you ever blown a clutch in a car?
Yes.
Well, okay, this is, and kids, a clutch, that's when you drive 5-speed. It's an actual stick shift instead of the car just putting in D and going. So back in the day when we're driving 5, if you blow your clutch, you get a burning rubber gross smell. And it's very distinct. And the reason why it's distinct, the reason why you remember it is because, A, it smells like shit, it smells like burning rubber, and it's a very expensive smell. Once you've been driving for a while, you know what's happening. You're like, oh, shit. So you can imagine the plane and, you know, maybe hydraulic fluid and things burning, mechanicals, if some wiring's burning up, maybe it smells bad, could become mistaken with body flatulence.
Well, I would agree with you, except I worked with a guy we'll call the machine.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. And at work, you know, we had these cubicle pods.
Yep.
Right? So they were open-sided. So there were two people back-to-back, and on the other side of that little hall, there were two people back-to-back. And that composed of four pods, and then there were four pods, and then – so they were, there was a total of 8 pods in a row. So you go to the next row, another 8 pods.
These are shitters you're talking about?
No. These are actual like desks.
Oh, desks. Okay, I thought you're talking about outhouses. Okay, so you got desks.
No.
Okay.
Cubicles, right?
Yes. Okay.
The person who you sit with for your entire life at work—that's your cubicle life partner.
Yeah.
Right. So you have a total of 8 people in a section, and the sections are usually separate by, they're about 6 feet tall, and then you go to the next section, right?
Yeah.
So there's a guy I worked with who cranked one out that was so brutal, you swear there was a green mist, right? It completely drove everybody from his 4-pack of cubicles out. Then it crawled its way over to the next 4. Then somehow, and I have no idea how this happened, crawled its way up a 6-foot-high wall, that was the cubicle, and made its way to the other 8-pack and cleared that row. If he was on a plane, it would have plunged in the ocean.
Yeah, because the pilots would have dove out.
They're like, I think it's just safer to drown everybody.
He just said, it just makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you're right. Yeah, and you know what? We've all had the wind on occasion.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to eat something fairly putrid, and don't get me wrong, I've had some nasty bouts, but you know where you fart and you realize, oh God,
why?
Oh, I can't smell like this. This isn't normal. You know, after working with the machine, I realized somebody can make an entire room sick.
Then you're wondering.
It was disgusting. Like it was like I can take some pretty nasty smells. I've worked at, you know, you go into your motorhome. My dad had a motorhome. We used to go to the local dump, and there's a section where you literally just empty
the motorhome.
The motor. the sewage, right? And it's just like this, the smell, like you want to vomit out there. He smelled worse than an entire lake of shit.
The shitter's full.
The shitter's full. All right. That's probably what it was. It's probably Randy Quaid on the plane.
Yeah.
Just walks out of the little bathroom and just, you know, with a newspaper swipe, you know, waving it behind him going, shitter's full.
Well, you mean, hey, whatever, mechanical or fart? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe what they smelled was something really bad and they thought it was mechanical.
Maybe.
Because you wouldn't turn around the plane for a fart. Like, there's just.
Well, apparently, yes. I mean, apparently the whole cabin smelled what the Rock was cooking.
Yes.
And they were like, gross. Yeah, we're good. Turn it around. Like, I'd be pissed. Like, if we had to turn around because somebody laid a fart.
Yeah.
You know, just everybody's turning on the air in the cabin.
Yep.
You know, everybody's got they're punching the ceiling to try to get the oxygen mask.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
You know, so that's a flight to remember. Yeah. I have to burn all my stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, man. So, one other story for you?
Yeah, I'd love another story. Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know what we'll do? We'll keep the housekeeping till the end.
Okay.
We got a good roll. We'll have a few more stories and we'll.
All right. So, cops comb for bald man who swiped Rogaine in Detroit area.
That's not me. I am follically challenged. But Rogaine, I've never tried Rogaine. I can't speak.
No, the side effects are pretty crazy. Police in suburban Detroit can skip barbershops as they search for a man who stole a hair growth product. The guy is bald. No kidding. Dearborn police have security video of a bald man who was suspected of stealing Rogaine from Walgreens from the store on June 22nd. Investigators say the man put seven boxes in a – yeah, good. At least it's seven boxes. I thought it was one. Like you need to go back for more.
Yeah.
So put seven boxes in a bag and dashed. He was wearing a shirt that said Air Force Dad. The police chief said, not the most. Oh, this is what the police chief actually said, quote unquote, not the most hair-raising crime.
Nah.
But he wants the public's help. Police say the bald man could strike again because it takes many months of consistent use for hair growth. So
yeah, well, you gotta get fast because now he's gonna have a full head of hair in a few months, and then what are you gonna do?
Yeah, it's just like. Hey, we realize you're the guy who... no, wait a minute. You're not the same guy. You've got a whole head of luscious hair.
Neil, you're so lush and thick.
Well, it's just definitely the wrong guy.
Yeah, he's thick and
we're
luscious.
We're looking for a bald guy.
Okay, so, again, I've never used it. You said there's some...
Yeah, originally, if I remember correctly, this is just what... Because a lot of people are like, oh, you know, in Rogaine, it's supposed to regrow your hair. But a lot of it, from what I was told, I may be wrong, but a lot of it is like causes a lot of sexual dysfunction. Because it's testosterone-based, right? Like it's... you got pregnant women can't touch it, can't go near it.
Right.
You know, like there's some really dangerous stuff. So, and I know there are other side effects, but I know that was one of the big ones. Hmm. It's like, I have a whole head of hair. Now the women love me, but my dick don't work.
My dick don't work. I've got this whole head of hair to pick up chicks, and now, well.
Now I got to go steal Viagra.
Yeah. Another host of problems.
What's the side effects of Viagra? Hair loss. Motherfucker!
Well, apparently Rogaine is expensive, though. Isn't it? I'm not condoning stealing it, and there's no emergency hair loss problem. It's not like somebody broke into a pharmacy and stole insulin. You mean it's fucking Rogaine, buddy? Like,
yeah, and if it's not covered by insurance, yeah, apparently it's like it's crazy expensive, like thousands of dollars.
Of course,
so.
It's not covered by insurance.
Well,
what kind of insurance? Like, even in Canada, we don't pay for Rogaine.
Yeah, you don't know, man. If it's you know, pre existing condition in the States, but I mean,
I got a cold head. I'm chilly.
you can have it covered if they think it's a psychological reasons that it's a necessity or you know what I mean. Like there could be a bunch of different ways they could hide it under something else. You know,
sounds like a loophole. Wow.
Yeah, I've come up with a couple loopholes.
Yeah, I know. He loves holes. All right. Okay. So steal Rogaine. Don't do it. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, so this one is interesting. Photographer in bizarre selfie court battle reveals that being sued by a monkey left him broke.
What? Monkey's owner, obviously?
No, actually, he was out in the wild, And that's what he does. He's a wildlife photographer.
Right.
And what he was trying to bring awareness to the plight of the endangered crested black macaque. It's right. A monkey that's a very big black face, big black nose. And it's not well known about it, but they're dying out. And the locals are eating them like candy.
Yeah, well, they're delicious.
Yeah. it needs a little more macaque.
I love my black yak. Macaque.
Yeah. So what they're saying is that he wanted them to realize that there are very few of them left. And so he set up a camera with like a larger shutter on it, like a larger button for you to push to set the camera off.
Right.
Right. And he would encourage the monkeys to come play with it and look in the lens and actually hit the button.
Right.
Right. And so the monkeys would take their own selfies. Okay. Right. And there's a great picture that he took that's very famous. It went all over. And then Wikipedia put it up on their site. Now, he told them, take it down
because
it's copyright. It's my photo. And Wikipedia shot back and said, we're not taking it down because the copyright belongs to the monkey.
It does. Yeah, it's his film, his camera, but the monkey actually pressed the button to take the picture.
Yeah, but still, it's still my camera. It's still my property.
Or the digital copy. But the thing is, the person that took the picture is a monkey. Well, it's not a person. Yeah, he didn't actually physically take the picture.
Right. It made the actual monkey take it. The guy's name, I won't say, well, he's finding out. So he's in a court battle, what they refer to as the monkey selfie, right?
Right.
And the way it worked out was it's left him penniless because of legal wrangling. He's been fighting it for years. And it's because that when he decided to fight Wikipedia, he went out and said, well, no, monkeys don't have rights. They don't have the right of ownership of any property, which they don't. And this is legally established in the court already.
Right.
Right? So he's like, fuck you, take it down. And then who stepped in? Oh, the fucking nice people at PETA.
Oh.
They went, the monkeys have rights, and they've been fighting him in court, trying to give rights to a fucking monkey.
They went apeshit.
Yes, yes.
They did.
To combine our last two stories, yes. So basically he's saying now that it's left him so broke that he's like, maybe I'll become a tennis coach or a dog walker. Because it would pay peanuts compared, but it's more than photography's paying me.
Okay.
And he's like, I'm not motivated to go take photos anymore because of all this shit. He's paid several thousand pounds for lawyers. He's losing income, losing sleep. He's depressed. And he's like, and it's all because PETA stepped in and went, we're going to dump all our money and our organization's money to fight against you.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, right? So,
well,
it finally went to court. And then, and their argument was this, he said it's absurd for the monkey to have rights because monkeys are not entitled to copyright on,
Yeah, of course.
And he says PETA should pay his legal fees and all that. And I believe in the end they said, okay, yeah, you're absolutely right. Because the monkey can't own anything. It was stupid for PETA to even try this shit.
Mm-hmm.
They don't disclose whether they ended up by paying his legal fees. I hope they did.
Yeah. Well, it's a attention grab too. Like it was, you mean?
Yeah. The benefit is that he did bring a lot of, recognition to the monkeys, and now the locals no longer eat them.
Yay.
They refer to them as selfie monkeys.
Selfie monkeys. Yay. Well, you can't eat it. If anybody takes a selfie, you can't eat that.
Exactly. So they're now taking pictures of the monkeys, and tourists are now coming to see the monkeys and take pictures with
them. Fantastic.
It's bringing a lot of tourist money to the tourists so that they don't have to eat these monkeys.
Yes.
They can go out and buy other stuff.
Other monkeys.
Yeah. And they were down to the last 1,000, and now they're starting to regrow and get
Well, I don't know if you've heard, but monkeys tend to hump a lot.
Yeah.
Especially the macaque monkey.
A lot of monkeys like to suck macaque.
Oh, yes. Oh, boy. So a monkey. Okay, now let me get this straight. Now, it depends. Is it person that owns the camera or person takes the picture? Let's say if I take your camera, I jam it down my pants and take a dick pic. Like if I take your cell phone, take a dick pic of my own, give it to you.
Don't do that.
You own the camera. Okay, no, I won't do that.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm writing it down. Hypotheticals, motherfucker.
Yes, it's hypothetically speaking. Let's say I took your phone.
I really want to give you a cockpit.
Yeah, hypothetically. I jammed your phone down my pants, snapped the pic. Yeah. Who owns that dick pic?
I do. Artistic. My camera.
Your camera, but my dick. And yeah, I took
it. Doesn't matter.
I took the photograph.
It doesn't matter.
What are you saying? My dick doesn't have rights? Fuck you. Off the court.
Let me tell you about macaque. All right?
So.
Well, look, possession is 9/10 of the law, yeah. Right? If you take that photo, right, and you send a copy to yourself and delete the copy on my phone, you took that photo. It's your photo.
Yeah.
But when you took that photo and handed me back the phone, you now gifted me that photo.
Okay.
And you no longer own possession of it, even if you kept a copy of it. Right? I have the device that it was recorded on, and I can say, look, it was recorded on this phone, and then the judge will be like, did you take a picture of his cack? And I'll be like, yes, I did.
Wait, what? Well, Your Honor, do I look like I just show my cock to this man? Well, we've heard your show.
So what did happen, Mr. Cass? Well, I took a picture of my own cock and gave it to
him. Exhibit A.
Yeah, exactly. The judge is going to be like, okay, something wrong with you?
Yes. Something. Do I look like I let him take a picture of my dick? We've heard your show. Yeah, we've heard your show. We have very little doubt that you would do that.
Yes.
It's actually all but a certainty.
Yeah, and copyright law is different everywhere, but he was in the States, and it's pretty much cut and dry. No matter what happened, is that the one who took the photo, right? You can argue that point all you want, but it was a monkey. The monkey doesn't have copyright protection. So to be able to claim the photo. Well, you know, you can't show up on behalf of the monkey and go, you know, there was an elephant who stepped on a camera and took a picture of his giant balls. Now we're here to claim copyright on behalf of the elephant. No, go fuck yourself. Get the fuck out of here.
No. And let me see that picture, please.
Yeah.
Just leave it on my desk. Forward that shit over. All right. So is that all you got this week?
No, I got one more.
Okay.
I got one more. So fourth story here. So this is what you think about when you think of a certain place. Soon you'll be able to openly carry a sword in Texas.
Of course you can. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, because this is Texas, and they want to make sure that every time a law comes up and says, well, you're infringing my rights, I'm going to court. Starting this fall, and this wasn't even a court battle. This was legislated. Starting this fall, adults in Texas can openly carry knives with blades longer than 5.5 inches. In fact, swords, spears, daggers, sabers, Bowie knives, and machetes are all perfectly fine to tote around.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because you never know when you need a machete at Loblaws. that's a lot. I don't know if I want to eat the whole hand of bananas.
I'm going to the Publix. Get the daggers and the spears.
I don't. What the fuck, Texas? Come on now. You already got guns. It's not enough.
No, but it doesn't go into effect until September 1st. The existing law allows blades. It says blades that are 5.5 inches could be purchased but not carried, with only limited exceptions. Right. The new law won't apply to schools, prisons, hospitals, amusement parks, or places of worship. So spears and daggers on Easter, no.
No.
Long blades are still banned at sporting events. Well, it's a good thing because, if somebody calls an onside kick, you don't want everybody breaking out their samurai swords.
Samurai swords.
onside kick. Oh. Coach, we might want to rethink that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't bring your sword into a bar either.
No.
Okay, but those little plastic swords for your drinks?
Oh, yeah.
Those are allowed. And
yes, of course. And can you imagine the jokes? Hey, is this sword legal now? Zip. No, you're good.
No, sir, you're under 5.5 inches.
Yeah, exactly. Clearly, way below 5.5 inches. You're good to go.
Put that picture of your monkey away, sir. So they said that there's common sense built in the bill so that kind of the ridiculous stuff doesn't get by. Texas now joins Montana and Oklahoma. both have passed laws lifting their bans on certain bladed weapons, including swords.
Okay, whatever. I understand. Land of the free, home of the brave. You're free to do whatever the fuck you want. I get it. But what makes you bring this law into effect? Like, why are they wasting their time? Like, it's like, you know what we should do? You're not allowed to shoe horses on Sundays.
Well, fuck, yeah, they have those laws.
I know they're on the books, but they just, but like, why are we making new ones that are like completely?
Well, let me answer the question. The answer to that question is the very last line in this.
All right.
All right. So the people who are fighting this, those last remaining minor noise restrictions in Texas, they want removed. So the quote is, "We won't stop until Texas is as free as everyone thinks Texas is."
Fuck. And okay. Well, you know. I'm sure that's not everybody.
Look, I think it's obvious that ground zero for the purge starts in Texas.
Yeah.
All right. Because everybody's going to have like swords and armor and all kinds of guns, and you're just not going to want to go there.
Well, that's just it. And whatever happened to being just a regular dude, like a fucking rough, you mean, rugged dude from Texas? Like, you just wouldn't. I'm walking around wearing my shit kickers and cowboy hat. Don't fuck with me. Yeah, you're
well,
right.
I probably won't. I think what it is, like, is also the they're big fans of the Bowie knife, right?
Yeah.
The Bowie knives are really cool. They're really nice and all that. We use them for hunting, but they can't carry them on their belts.
Of course. Right?
Even though there could be a use for it, even though you're like a farmhand or no, you can be a farmhand or something. These knives are pretty much, they do everything. Like, I used to work with a guy who carried a small knife, and he would cut open his tins. He would eat his food with it. He would cut open his plaster with it. It was an all around tool. And for them, some of them, they just prefer a bigger knife. And it's, I'm not saying they're compensating for anything. I'm just saying.
No, we're not saying that. No, that's a knife.
Yeah, when you work in it, different types of fields where you need a big knife, sometimes instead of like a shitty utility knife that's always breaking blades, like the one you're holding now, Rob.
Yes.
Yeah. You'd rather have a knife that's more dependable, that's sharper, and that will do more damage, and it will, you know, that you can kind of work with. So
yeah.
I can kind of understand why you might want to, but for the whole population to go, they're like, yeah, we get to carry knives and swords. Yeah, that also means that the people who don't want them carrying knives and swords
are going to carry knives.
So now the cops have to deal with like sword wielding people.
Well, that's just it. Like, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with it, but just for the fact of like saying we want to be free and we're going to have everything. Like, why don't you? Okay, what's your next law? You're going to make it legal to eat cats just because you want to be fucking free? Like, yeah, you're free. We know you're free. Fuck, you don't got to be. Come on, guys.
There's already a segment of population that eats cats, Rob.
I know.
They're called foxes, okay? Or they're coyotes. Foxes.
Well, they don't have rights, apparently. Unless they're in the monkey. I don't know what the... But anyway, fuck, I'm getting all pissed. Anyway.
My job is done.
There we go. So before we close up the shop, you want to tell the good people where they can find us on the Twitters?
They can find us at Roman Podcast on the Twitters and also Instagram.
And yourself?
I can be found at Roman Citizens on Instagram, Snapchat, and pretty much all social platforms. I've been posting. Not on Grindr
anymore.
I'm not on there at all.
I know.
You. Yeah, I just posted some more pictures today. So
cool.
How about yourself?
Myself, you can find me on Twitter at RobertMMCast and on the Instagrams at Cast1973. Remember to go see my good buddy Chris at the Retro Rocket. He got my weekly comic book pulls at the Retro Rockets Comics and Games, and he's here in Cambridge, even though if you don't live where I live, you know, you check him out online. He's got a lot of good stuff. Also, make sure to check out our website, www.romanpodcast.com, and for all your show needs, it shows you the networks we're on, EMC Podcast Network, the Tangent Mountain Network, and also check out our Amazon widget. If you're going to shop on Amazon, go to our website first, click the banner, and Amazon gives us a little kiss for saying, hey, thanks for sending your listeners to Amazon. Also, remember, Tasty Nude Campaign. If you have any tasty nudes, you can send them to Roman, care of Roman, at romanpodcast@gmail.com. You have any tasteful nudes, I'm a happily married man, newborn baby in the house, send them care of Rob, same address, romanpodcast@gmail.com. And, of course, don't forget about our review reach-arounds. If you want to give Roman or Rob a review reach-around, go to iTunes and give us a star rating and review. Also, you can do that on Stitcher or Google Play or all the other places where you listen to your podcasts. And we just...
It's a five-star macaque reach-around, people. Five-star macaque reach-around.
Well, we don't ask for five stars, but if you feel compelled, if you think Roman deserves a five-star reach-around, hey, fuck, right on. You know, and that's
one for every inch. What?
When I first, and I would be I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. I'm sure everybody listening to this is waiting to hear it. Happy episode 69.
Yes, episode 69, everybody.
we couldn't let that go. I was like, oh, maybe I won't say it. No, we have to.
Yeah, we have to.
As Bill and Ted said, 69, dude.
69.
All right. So anyway, on that small note, we're going to end it right there. Until next week, I'm Rob Cast.
And I'm your host, Roman LeBeau.
And we'll see you next time. Later.
Hey, so this is Canada, huh?
Where'd all these donuts come from? Are these imported? Are these imported donuts? Or are these Canadian-made donuts?
Who exports donuts? Where does that happen?
That's a good question. I want the whole truth.
These better be locally grown donuts.
Get it? Whole truth?
Whole truth. Oh boy. Hey, this is Randy.
This is Jesse.
And we are 2/3 of the Grolics podcast. Hey Melanie, say hi real loud.
Hi.
That was the other third of the Grolics podcast.
From afar. Because yeah. She's still in America.
She's still in America, but we're up here in Canada stomping our American boots all over the Roman podcast.
Moose tracks.
You know what? America provides a valuable export for the Roman podcast. Did you know that, Jesse?
Do we?
We do. All those news stories of idiots doing stupid things.
That's American made.
America. In fact, 90% of that export, Florida.
True. Mar-a-Lago.
Whoa. Whoops. Why do you think we're here? Shh. They'll send us back.
They'll send us back. I'm sorry.
The Grolics Podcast. We're hiding out up here in Canada. We love the Roman Podcast. If you're listening to this, we know you do too. But in between stories of
bear attacks
and nudists robbing pawn shops, come check us out. We'll talk about comics. We'll talk about some movies, some Doctor Who. Hey, got one of the guys that created Doctor Who.
Canadian.
US.
Don't let the Brits steal that from you. They take everything from you. Don't let them take Doctor Who.
They're claiming it. I think they did. Oh. I think they won that.
God, I don't know how to end this.
Yeah, that's the problem with our awkward ramblings. They don't end.
GRAWLIXpodcast.com.
Hi, this is Mark. Congratulations, you have found this amazingly awesome show. Chances are you're listening to it right now on whether it's iTunes or Stitcher Radio or some other mobile app that allows you to stream this amazingly awesome show to your ear holes. And I can't stress how awesomely amazing this show really is. But did you know that you can also catch the latest episode of this show on the Tangibound Network? That's right. Go check out tangiboundnetwork.com. You can look them up, and you can listen to it right there. It's even mobile-friendly. What more could you ask for? Which means you can pull it up on your iPhone or your Android, even your Windows phone. Yeah, who has one of those? But still, point remains, you can do it. You can do it. Check it out, tangiboundnetwork.com. Listen to this show, the latest episode, every time.